Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago. Mike Tsai with a couple Stanley Cup champions from the 2010 Stanley Cup champs, Brian Campbell, and from the 2013 squad, Jamal Mayers. Boys, Hawks have won 5 straight, but look, remember when they won those first 3? We're like, they're against the 3 of the bottom feeders in the league. These last 2 games against Winnipeg and Minnesota, it's starting to look like a team that may not be trying to knock on the door to the playoffs all year. They might be able to secure a spot and have some more solid footing.
You know, sometimes it takes some time to find your team game. And for me right now, they're playing a great team game defensively. And they've settled in and playing with a little bit more patience in the system. Patience that if they play the right way, and you've been in locker rooms before, Soupy, that if you do those things, that the results will take care of themselves. Don't worry about chasing that goal. Start on time. Play the right way defensively. We have enough offense in here to cash in. And because of that, there's predictability in their game. You're playing with more pace, more speed. And then the offense have certainly turned around. They're creating chances. Imagine when this power play turns around as well.
Yeah, I think you look at it, and Q's always said, especially, and I know Jammer will know this too, is that he's never worried about them scoring goals. And they had a few stretches, obviously, where they weren't scoring a lot and they're getting one a game. But defensively, they're top 5 goals against. They're right up there. They don't give up a whole lot, so they can afford to get on the offense and get their 2-3 and win those games. So it definitely obviously helps having an all-star goaltender back there to support you. But it's been good how they've just slowly gotten better as the season has gone on, and the team speed is definitely helping that.
And I thought you made a great point in the post-game show, Jammer, how, Vinny Hinostroza, since he came to Rockford, and obviously we know he brings speed to the lineup, but it's also where you're slotting him. You put him now on that third line. Center position is not a position of strength for the Hawks as far as depth goes. So he's playing, he played only that part of the time in Rockford. You're able to see Hartman on the wing. DeBrincat was pushed up to the Taves line. You're able to see him fit in nicely there. And Schmaltz has found chemistry with Kane. So, and the fourth line, as we've said all season long, has been probably the most consistent. So that one move of bringing Vinny kind of slots everybody, and all of a sudden team speed goes up a peg or two because of one player being inserted into the lineup.
Yeah, certainly a combination of things, but I think that Vinny has allowed that third line to possess the puck more through the neutral zone. They can create off the rush a little bit more. He has the ability to retrieve pucks. He's getting smarter in where he has to, he tends sometimes perhaps to overskate in the defensive zone and gets ahead of the play. Once he learns even more from playing center and coming from behind will be an asset for him, and coming and supporting from underneath, especially his wingers. He has enough speed. He can catch up and create odd man situations. But I love the way it slots everybody into their positions. And, you can't understate what also the combination of having guys come in defense-wise and step up and play, unbelievable minutes. Kempney comes in, has contributed, looks seamless. Osterley's come in as well. When you thought a couple guys went down, you weren't sure quite what to expect, especially against Winnipeg. I thought that could be a real challenging game. I was most impressed with the D and how they handled a fast, big, play it any way you want it type of Winnipeg Jets team that's had success playing at home. This team really showed a lot for me the last 2 games.
Is it fair, Soupy? The biggest question mark on this team, I think we all would say, was defense coming into the season. We just didn't know. You lose a top 4 in Hjalmarsson, TVR exits. Was Connor and Brian Soupy Campbell, right there, right in front of me. We didn't know how Connor Murphy would adjust to the minutes. And, you know, of course, Keith and Seabrook, you know, on the back end of their career. Is it safe or fair to say that it's becoming now a strength from some of Gustav Forsling taking the next step? What Jammer just said about Osterley. And before that, you know, we had Franson and Ruta providing, and it looks like they'll be knocking on the door to get back in the lineup on Thursday. Do you see it now as a strength?
Yeah, I don't know where I see it. I definitely don't see it as a weakness, that's for sure, and I think that's what we kind of felt like it was coming into the season, maybe early on. But now you see Murphy playing really well and playing hard, going out there, hitting some guys, and you know, he's been quiet out there. You don't notice him, but that's because he's not making any mistakes. And all those guys, they've used 8 defensemen, and every time those defensemen have come in, and you got to give credit to the coaching staff for that. I think they've really prepared them, and obviously they're doing their work when they're not playing to get ready to play games. So I think with Ulf Samuelsson coming in, it's really made them the guys probably really embraced him, and he's probably been very positive with them and kept them upbeat and kept them prepared.
So is it the individual player on the back end that has gained confidence and it's what they're doing? Or, as you pointed out, even when you came back the second time, getting readjusted to Joel's defensive system takes some time. Where do you see that? Where's the growth been the most? Has it been the individual, or has it been getting adapted to the system?
Well, I think once you get adapted to the system, then you shut off your brain and you just go play
hockey. You go play hockey, okay.
And that's – if you're thinking out there, nobody's a good player out there. Patrick Kane never thinks once out there. He just all natural, and he knows his positioning and everything like that, but then it's being creative off of that. So I think, you know, Connor Murphy doesn't think out there anymore. Before, he was like, oh, should I be here? Can I go chase this guy behind the net? Can I not go get him? So those are the things that makes the game slow down for you, and then therefore it's all reading, reacting, and using your hockey instincts that you've been using since you've been 5 years old. So that's just kind of how that's all evolved for all these guys coming in. And I think with Osterley, he didn't play a lot early on, but he got to watch and learn how to play the game that Q wants them to play.
So here's the question, because Ruta was on the ice practicing at the optional skate on Sunday. And Franson's not far away. You've got Osterley, who it's going to be hard to take him out.
You can't take him out. You can't take Duncan out, obviously. You can't take.
But, guys, I've been in and out of the lineup, and let me tell you how it works. Soupy, you're always in the lineup.
No.
Osterley's coming back out. You know why?
Really?
You know why? Because he showed that he can come in and play well, so he's not.
I don't know. After that stretch, I don't.
Ruta's going back in. I don't know who's.
Yeah.
Ruta's going back in. When he's healthy, he's going back in.
I agree. And but so Kempney could come
I think,
out.
I think Murphy goes back with Seabrook, and then you got Ruta and Forsling. That's how it would go if you were to make a change in your lineup. That's how it would go. And then, obviously, you leave Duncan and Osterley together as well.
So and Kempney carried that puck up through the neutral zone the other night against the Minnesota Wild and lost it in the second period. Not a bad play. Didn't turn into that sealed his fate for me. For Joel, is like, okay, there's a reason why he's coming out.
Coming up on the Hawks Talk podcast, we're going to get into Tommy Hawk. That's right. Tommy Wingles is going to get some time here on the podcast. And has the Blackhawks power play turned a corner, even though they haven't pumped any in? We'll get into that. That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Welcome back to the Hawk Talk podcast with Brian Campbell and Jamal Mayers. I am Pat Boyle. Let's get into the man advantage because, statistically, it does not look good. And it's even if they got on a roll, They're only going to move up incrementally in the rankings in the National Hockey League. But I thought on Sunday there were some signs of progress. And again, though, it's against the Minnesota Wild PK that is Jekyll and Hyde, depending on what building they're in. When they're at home, they're like the best in the league on the PK. And on the road, they're like tied for 26th or 27th. So what did you take away from the power play, and can they build upon that?
They absolutely can build upon it. I thought it was an unbelievable bright spot. I love the way – a few things. I love that they had a shot mentality. I love the retrievals when pucks were right off faceoffs. They did a great job of getting to pucks. I love when they were able to bail out people. They had a shot mentality getting pucks to the net. They ran set plays. I saw give and go down low with Taze, then a backdoor to Anisimov went off the heel of his skate. Could have easily been an empty net goal. I like the high tip to Taser. I like Kaner shooting off the half wall. All these different looks as a penalty killer keep you on your toes and keep you wondering, is the shot coming from Keith? Is it coming here on a one-timer? Is Kane going to attack the seam in the half wall? Is he going to run a give and go with Taser? Now I'm thinking about, I've got a lot of responsibility, and they've got the best players on the ice. Now we're in trouble. They kept it going. They kept their foot on the gas. And for me, I love how deliberate they were.
Yeah, I think now that, you know, all those things, but now they can evolve and do some more things and add pieces into it and some interchanges here and there. And we were talking maybe even switch up the D at the top if you get a PK tired and then you get more one-timers going. So all those things. But I think the biggest thing is that they know where their outs are now and they're not thinking out there. And we talked about that earlier in the podcast. If you're not thinking, then that just makes you a better player. So they know how to find their outlets, and that is 88 getting it to him on the half wall.
On both Stanley Cup teams that you guys were a part of, we always kind of say in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the stars cancel each other out. You know, Kane's going to get his goals, Taves is going to get his, and on the opposition, likewise. It comes down to the bottom six production. And when you look at the production from the fourth line in particular of this team, it's been impressive. Tommy Wingle's now with 4 goals in his last 5 games. Yes, it was an empty netter on Sunday. But has he been the biggest surprise to you on, like, of all the moves or acquisitions that Stan made? They have $750,000. You know he took a pay cut to come play at home, a 1-year deal, and to see him producing, are you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, I played with Tommy when he was a rookie in San Jose. He was not a centerman. I never seen him play center 1 second, but he's a smart player. He understands there was a need here. He knew that he played right side. Tanner Carroll is gone. He's no longer on the Chicago Blackhawks because of how well this line has played and how trustworthy Tommy's been. Kills penalties, plays in all situations. Joel trusts him. End of games, he's out there taking faceoffs. He's not even at – it's not like he's clipping at 58, 59, 60% on the faceoffs. He just knows even if he does lose the draw, I trust this kid. And I like, you know, I like what I get from him. So he's been a huge surprise. I knew he could play. I knew he was going to be an in-your-face, sandpaper type of player. He's impressed with me with how quickly he's evolved as a player and been able to play center ice, which isn't easy in the NHL. And their line is they read off each other extremely well. They play a simple game, but they create. They create a lot of chances within the house, in the front of the net. They create chances, and they're going to score their fair share of goals. If that line, if two of those three guys in that fourth line get 10 goals, that's a fantastic season.
Another guy we haven't talked about, who usually Joel will try to add into the fourth line, but he can't because his fourth line has been so good, and they play together, is Panic. You know, he hasn't played the last couple of games. He's a 20-some-odd goal scorer in this league, and you know, I personally don't think he's going to be playing Thursday either because the lineup's been going pretty good. So, you know, that's just kind of your fourth line. He's not afraid to put him out against anybody, which is, you know, I'm sure for Q, it's just such an added benefit for him knowing that they're responsible. So, all in all, those guys have been great. And you look at Tommy Wingles, he wasn't playing the first, I think, 2 or 3 games of the season. They had Kiro in there, and then they had to make some adjustments.
So here we sit now on the week before Christmas. The Hawks are going to head out now for 6 straight on the road. They've got 5 straight wins, an opportunity to make it 6 and make it 3 straight over Central Division rivals. You've kind of see that the team is gelling together. There's some rumors out there that, like, say Ottawa, for example, is looking to move guys like Erik Karlsson, and that they've asked for players with no trade clauses to submit teams. Are you guys of the belief now that you, from what you've seen in the last few games, you want to see this team gel, that going out and adding is not necessarily at the top priority? Let's see where, you know, this team's speed goes, where some of these young D, as they're developing and igniting the offense, let's see what we have before we get, because you're going to have to give up a player that's probably on this roster if you're going to get a rental or get a guy who, you know, obviously he's a top four defenseman in this league, a top, you know, he's in top, what would you say, Soupy, top five?
Yeah, I know he's having a tougher year this year, but yeah. he's the best offensive defenseman for sure in the league. And so, I think Q could do wonders with him on the defensive side.
So are you of the belief that you would like to see, you know, Stan sit back and wait before adding a piece and see what he has here? Or would you be willing to part with a piece that's on the roster to add someone like a Karlsson?
I think you've always got to be looking and turning over every stone, and I'm sure that the Hawks are doing their due diligence and getting apprised of what it would take, and if that's what they want to do. For me, I think you have to be encouraged by the progress you've seen from the likes of Osterle and stepping into the lineup, and Ruta, surprisingly, and even Murphy, the way that he's played. I think that it changes the dynamic, and I think that sometimes it takes time. It takes time for guys to understand systems. And then you have to make an, and then you have to also add in my opinion, another layer is, are you honestly competing for a Stanley Cup? And what is your goal? Are you going to give up? If you really think it's going to be this year that you're going to win a Stanley Cup, they'll make that determination. But, you know, you're going to have to give up a solid, unbelievable young piece to get a Karlsson. And I think they're going to have to make that evaluation if they're that close, if they really believe they're that close. Because right now, they just pushed themselves into the top wild card spot. It's not like they're sitting at the top of the division.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think if those moves do come, it's probably going to be closer to the trade deadline. But, you know, this team also needs a lot of these young pieces to come through, and they need these picks and these draft picks to keep replenishing and keep coming up through the system. So that's going to be awfully tough for them to give up young pieces, and because, you know, you look at the salaries of their core guys, and they take up a lot. So you need these guys coming in that make under $1 million and to keep supplying and keep bringing the speed to this hockey club.
Isn't that really the biggest question mark? Like, we've seen team speed in the last few days, but, you know, do they have enough against, like, an elite fast team? And I guess maybe on the back end is where you'd question it. And, you know, we've seen, like, Osterle can move a little bit. But you don't know if in a seven-game series against a high-flying team, is there enough speed on the back end?
Yeah, and it's really, you know, it's hard to tell, but I think that the defense has been a bright spot in the last 2 weeks. So I like the way that the younger defense have been progressing, and I think Osterley's just scratching the surface. He's been playing over 20 minutes a night with Duncan Keith. You're seeing, you know, think about those first four games that he played. We didn't really notice his shot. Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, this guy could shoot it.
Yeah.
Because he's getting some confidence. And then next thing you know, he's skating the puck up the ice. You're like, he can really skate. Well, he could always do those things, but confidence ignites you and allows you to do more. And I think we haven't even scratched the surface of what his potential could be. He's a guy who, you know, the Edmonton Oilers gave up on. He has an opportunity here. He realizes this is an opportunity. He sat out. He's obviously a very tough mentally kid to stay prepared and come in and play with Duncan Keith, not intimidated at all. I like what it says about him and his character. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I think, you know, he looks great. I like him, but we'll see over time. It's a couple games span. Let's see him over, you know, 10, 20 games and see if he can stay focused and stay consistent. is the word I'm looking for there. So I think those are the things. It's early, but I think they'll just take it day by day, and the coaching staff will see. But he's got the tools to be a very, very good player in this league.
You see some similarities to yourself, right?
I mean, I do. I like the way he got out of some areas, and playing the right side is not easy, and that's what he is playing. Being a left-handed shot, playing the right side is not easy. So he's gotten out of some situations. I wish I shot the puck like that, but I never did. But, you know, we'll see. And once he gets more confidence, like Jammer says, and, you know, he's got the tools for today's NHL, what you need, and that's skating, you know, he can handle the puck, and obviously he's a pretty good passer with his breakaway pass that he gave Kane last night.
Happy holidays, boys.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Have a great Christmas, and thanks for joining us on the Hawks Talk podcast. Of course, we'll see you guys on Blackhawks pre and post on NBC Sports Chicago. Hey, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Hawks Talk podcast. Thanks to Brian Soupy Campbell, Jamal Mayers. Thank you for listening. Have a great holiday, and we'll see you next time on the Hawks Talk podcast.